The big question, and this changes for everyone, is why do you buy a wine? And do you know where that wine actually comes from?
As I like to say, there's life after Cabernet Sauvignon.
The most expensive wine in the world is a Bloody Merlot. Why can't we be in that group? We can be.
It is important to adapt your rootstock to the location where you are and what you want to grow.
There's a moment in a red wine fermentation where it gets really foamy, froths up in your face, and it smells amazing. I think that's my favorite part.
We say, so drink the wine. That's kind of our motto here at Life Between the Vines. One of the cool things about wine, besides drinking it, is the people you drink it with. And the stories you hear and tell with wine all come together to make every bottle unique. Discovering and tasting wine shouldn't be a homework assignment. And we believe that the people who are closest to wine have the best stories. So open a bottle.
Happy New Year, and welcome to podcast number 301. This week we feature Connie Van Til of Bowers Harbor Vineyards in Traverse City, Michigan. In November, we visited 10 wineries in 4 days on the western coast of Michigan, recording full interviews and video. It was a bit of a whirlwind tour, which even included a couple of snowstorms, but as we like to say, part of the fun with wine is discovery. For this program, we visit with wine specialist Connie Van Til of Bowers Harbor Vineyards on Old Mission Peninsula in Traverse City. The state of Michigan is making excellent wine, which is what we discovered. With that in mind, it's our hope you never lose your thirst for wine discovery. So back to another interview with Michigan area wineries, and I'm here with Connie Van Til. And Connie is the assistant manager of the tasting room at Bowers Harbor Vineyards. How are you doing?
Great.
Good. Well, thanks for having us in today.
Yeah, absolutely.
So we're in the house next door, which I don't know, does somebody live here? Is this like a rental house?
One of our proprietors, Linda Steginga, lives here. She's currently gone on a nice warm vacation.
For her.
Fitting since it's snowing outside right now.
It is. Yeah. Welcome to winter in Michigan.
Yeah, exactly. But this is the original farmhouse from the property, and she has lived here since the family purchased the property in 1985.
So how long have you been with Bowers Harbor?
Just about 12 years.
Wow, so you're kind of like an old-timer.
I think I might be the longest tenured employee here.
Wow, that's something.
Yeah.
So what brought you to work at a tasting room? Were you just a wine lover? Or?
Crazy story. No, grew up in the Chicago area with parents who casually enjoyed wine. Nice wine. There's a lot of great restaurants in the Chicago area, and their hobby was to dine out. So I got exposed to some lovely wines going out with them. Moved to Michigan for college, married, and my husband and I moved up here about 18 years ago for him to take a new job. We have 4 daughters, and when the youngest was old enough for me to look for a little bit of part-time work nearby, living this far up Old Mission Peninsula doesn't make you close to very many job opportunities, but there are plenty of vineyards up here, and so I simply inquired, and they were looking for help. And I kind of jumped in very part-time at that point. Our daughters would help out here from time to time in the tasting room. Interestingly, our 2 oldest daughters, both having gone to Pennsylvania for college, would work summers here in the tasting room. My oldest daughter shifted plans from pursuing a PhD in English to pursuing certification as a sommelier.
Oh, really?
So she traces her interest in wine back here. She went on to help open a restaurant in Detroit went on to, after 2 years there, and that being voted best restaurant in Detroit, was hired by a restaurant in Dallas, and she just earned her advanced somm certification. And the second daughter also, despite her college degree, has pursued a career in wine.
Oh, nice.
So, and the younger 2 help out here and do some babysitting for Spencer, the son's kid. So our family has kind of intermingled with the whole story of Bowers Harbor Vineyards, which is fun for me.
So the one that's become a somm, does she have a life at all at this point? I mean, you know, being a psalmist, and it is a calling beyond belief.
It's intense.
Yeah.
Well, let me say this. We don't hear from her very often. Which we try to respect because we know how demanding it is.
Yeah, very.
And we're super proud of her. She's having a ball. She's being really stretched. It's fascinating. It's exhausting. It's intimidating. But my appreciation for wine has grown through her lens of pursuing SOM certification.
I believe that. So what does she think of the wines here? There's a setup question for you.
Right, yeah. You know what? She is excited about the wines here, particularly the Rieslings. Northern Michigan now is really on the map, becoming noticed internationally for the quality of the Rieslings. So that's exciting. She's become involved with City of Riesling and some other endeavors to really wake people up to the fact that Northern Michigan is putting out quality Rieslings in particular. But I think even in my experience up here, not only the Rieslings, but the other wines in the region are gaining some credibility. The region now probably has about 50 years of history. So, you know, we've gotten some bumps and bruises as we've learned along the way. But I think the region is gaining credibility because the growers and the winemakers are learning the things they need to learn.
Well, I think everybody goes through, you know, bumps like that because absolutely. That's how you learn as a winemaker,
yeah,
right?
Absolutely, yeah.
Who is the winemaker here?
Spencer, the proprietor's son of Linda, oversees the process, and he typically works in conjunction with Brian Ulbrich. Brian owns a winery in town. They don't grow any of their own grapes. They outsource all, you know, a negotiant.
Now, just to be clear, when you say they, the winery he works for?
The winery that Brian
owns.
But not
Powers.
Yeah, Leftfoot Charlie.
Great.
On the other hand, we do the growing of our own grapes and managing some other vineyard property here and over on the Leelanau Peninsula. But then we have Brian and one other winemaker work to make our wines.
Now, I from what I've seen, we were in the tasting room very briefly, and there's a lot of wines in there. But can you walk through, just basically, you don't have to name them
sure.
all, but
yeah.
And I guess I will ask how many you make, but and if you could just run through a few.
Yeah.
Them.
We're enthusiastic about sparkling wines. We love to do them. It requires a little bit more time, effort, expense. But Spencer's pretty pumped about producing some really nice sparkling wines, both non-vintage and vintage. And Brian loves to produce those as well. So they've been working at doing some Blanc de Noirs, some Blanc de Blancs, beautiful vintage Brut Rosé. So those are a lot of fun for us. We've been doing a Pinot Noir or a Cab Franc Rosé for the past probably 5 years. Those are popular. They're gorgeous. People love them. Pinot Grigio is our biggest seller. It's not our most expensive wine, but probably one of our best loved wines. It's done in an Italian style, very fruit forward. Chardonnay, we've got 3 Chardonnays. 2 of them are unwooded. 1 is aged in oak barrels. Rieslings, we have 5 Rieslings ranging from very dry to very sweet.
Wow.
And 3 of those really highlight single vineyards, either on our property or that we manage.
Cool.
Going on from there, we're dog lovers. So we have 4 wines named after dogs. So both the proprietors and the people who work here, and for sure the people who visit, love dogs. So that's part of our portfolio. And then in red wines, we have varietals that you would expect in this region. We've got Cab Franc, some Cab Franc Merlot Bordeaux-style blends, some Pinot Noirs. We've played around with some grapes from outside the region just for fun.
Oh, really?
And then hard ciders have become a big deal for us. We sell a lot of hard cider and a few dessert wines as well.
Nice. So you just said some comes from out of the region, but is most everything estate here?
We have 19 acres of grapes planted here. So we do have some strictly estate wines. We also manage some other vineyard property on Old Mission Peninsula. We purchase from some single vineyards over on the Leelanau Peninsula that belong to good friends of Spencer Steginga. So yes, we work with estate grapes and then branch out into some other areas right here.
And how many cases are you producing, roughly?
Yeah, about 18,000.
Okay, so a good, pretty good size for a small winery.
Yeah, nice. Yeah.
Obviously, big bread and butter here is the tourism that comes through. And I'm sure, I imagine that's where where you sell a lot of your wine, right?
Correct.
And this might be a tall question to answer, but how many people do you see come through the tasting room in a year? Do you have a rough idea of that?
Wow. I wish I could tell you. It's got to be in the tens of thousands.
Wow, amazing.
For sure, yeah, yeah.
I mean, obviously, your biggest season is going to be, I would think, the summer months, but we came up here and you had a party going on in this enclosed building off to the side.
Right, yeah. That used to be our wine warehouse. It's now a pavilion. About 6 years ago, actually, I had been traveling with one of my daughters home from college in Pennsylvania. We did some wine tasting in northern Ohio along the southern shore of Lake Erie, and visited a winery that had an outdoor pavilion. At the time, it wasn't being used. It was chilly weather. And I told Spencer when I got back, you know, that pavilion is something we need. That's just, it fits the whole feel of Bowers Harbor Vineyards. It's inviting. It's kind of cozy. It's outdoorsy. And he said, let's do it. Let's just build a bigger warehouse on the other part of our property and make that into a pavilion. So we did that initially. It was just outdoor. And then we thought, well, if we make some nice drop down clear sides, we can use that pushing four seasons, and we do.
Yeah, it's amazing. Is any production done in this area right around here at all, or is that elsewhere?
No, all our wine is produced off-site for a couple of reasons. One, just the simple economic reason that by the time you've invested in the property, the land, putting the vines in, building the tasting room, all of that expense builds up, and to then buy all your winemaking equipment and have a full-time winemaker is just prohibitively expensive. So that's probably the initial reason. But also, I think both Linda and her son Spencer really take their stewardship of the land here seriously. We sit right by Bowers Harbor on beautiful West Bay, and they want to just be careful about any runoff. And since wine production uses a lot of water and has a lot of runoff, they've opted to not pursue that on the property.
A little lay of the land. We haven't really talked about this with anybody else in terms of winemakers, that we're on a peninsula here.
Right.
And this area is called?
Old Mission Peninsula.
Old Mission Peninsula. And the other one across is the?
Is the Leelanau,
right,
Peninsula.
Okay. Yeah. And then, is there something off to the east more?
There is, yeah. And so,
I know there's other wineries, but in terms of the name of the area?
Wow. Well, it's the east side of East Bay, which is beginning to have its own very specific wine trail, which is kind of cool.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice. So this area, about how many wineries are around here, would you say, roughly?
On Old Mission Peninsula, currently there are 11. Brand new one just opened a number of weeks ago. Over on the Leelanau Peninsula, I think they're about 25 currently.
Yeah.
So the region has grown.
Now, are you seeing a lot of growth here with wine? I mean, we just mentioned that. Obviously, there is some, but is it something where you're seeing exponential growth going on at this point?
Yeah. Depending on the kind of time frame you're looking at, I would say it's been brisk growth, especially over the past 10 to 15 years.
What I've seen in this part of the country, and talking the Midwest in general, many wineries try to stick with making their own grapes, whether they're cold weather grapes. But are you seeing any wineries around here bringing juice in from other parts of the country or even other parts of the world?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. One of the wineries, in fact, a couple of wineries pair with another entity down in South America. I'm not sure exactly what the business model is. So they'll bring in juice from South America and do a wine specifically with those grapes. Our vineyard and I think many others in the region, after our really difficult winter of 2014 and 2015, our vineyard in particular lost 85% of our harvest in 2014, 95% in 2015, which doesn't leave you much to work with. You need to source juice from elsewhere. obviously, our first choice is to source from within the state of Michigan. But 2015 really hammered the entire state, all the fruit crops. So we had to source from outside the state. We sourced from Washington, from Oregon, and from Northern California. And I think quite a few of the wineries in this region did the same.
Well, then you created kind of a rare vintage for what you were doing that year, see?
Absolutely. Yeah, yeah. Absolutely. We had a really crazy estate cuvée that year. We threw in the very few grapes that we could scavenge from the property and made a white blend. And interestingly, people from time to time will still ask if we have any of that. I don't think we even cellared it. We weren't sure what it would turn out to be like. But the people who loved it, loved it. And, you know, it's a great opportunity to explain to people the beauty of a boutique winery, which is we produce vintage wines. And when they're gone, They're gone.
You know, that's the difficult thing. I was talking to a winery once before where they had sold out of one particular vintage that was very popular with people, and their followers got angry.
Yeah.
That's kind of hard to deal with sometimes when you're popular.
Right? You know, although they don't stay angry for long once you introduce them to a new vintage that's lovely.
That just gives you an opportunity to move them to another place.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. Well, it's the fun and the challenge of having a small winery with limited acreage and limited production. I kind of like that because each vintage brings something new. It doesn't get boring at all. We do have our wines that we produce year after year that are staples and people love and know they can depend on them. But I would say the real wine lovers get kind of pumped about seeing what the next vintage has brought.
Sure, there's always an adventure.
Absolutely. You don't know what to expect.
Yeah, that's what great wine's all about. Now, your tasting room, which is right next door, and again, you have some extra space over there, is that by appointment or can people just drive on up and do a tasting?
People can drive on up and do a tasting. As the region has grown, we're on the radar for visitors from Detroit, Chicago, and really around the nation. If larger groups come, they need to make a reservation, typically eight or more, and we have a lot of shuttles bringing groups in. But for individuals coming in, no reservation needed. We will accommodate folks.
Excellent. And for our listeners who'd like to learn about you online, what's your website?
It is Bowers Harbor, B-O-W-E-R-S, harbor.com.
And you're pretty easy to find. It. About how far drive time from Chicago, roughly?
Oh, probably about 5.5 hours from Chicago.
So that's not too bad.
No, not bad at all.
Great. Connie, I appreciate you taking the time meeting with us today, and I hope you guys continue to do well.
Thanks so much. Appreciate it.
Learn more by visiting bowersharbor.com or michiganwinecollaborative.com.
Thanks for listening, and remember to like us on Facebook. Also, check out our YouTube channel.
Life Between the Vines is produced at Fifth Floor Recording Company in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Produced and edited by Ray Pfister. Theme song and original music written and recorded by Tim Dondarevo. Our host is Kay Paskoff. Our graphics and website specialist is Lawton Hall. Our web geek is Dan Gieschen. Photos by Jeanette Herniak. Copyright 2018.